Christy. Hit Breakfast with Dan and Christy. Hits 100.9.
Have you had a ghost encounter? Because I totally have. Plenty of them, actually. And we were discussing this. We were thinking maybe there's a spirit actually following me around, an entity, a spirit attachment.
There is a lot to unpack.
Who am I going to call? Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters! Yeah. Do I have an energy body following me around?
Yes.
That's the question.
Ghosts. So yesterday, Dan and I are off air, and I'd said yesterday on the show that I was going to see a psychic this afternoon, which I'm really excited about. Mm. Dan doesn't believe in psychics. Dan started to say there's nothing out there. And then Dan and I were having a meeting with Boss Phil. And then all this stuff came up from Dan about ghost encounters that he'd had. So,
well, encounters I can't really explain. And it's happened in two places. So I used to live in Terrigal in a bunch of beach apartments. And there was no one that lived in there. And one day I was doing Grease the Musical. And I was talking about the ghost that lived in the Laycock Street Theatre up there. And I'm like, ghosts are stupid. And he goes, no, I've actually seen this ghost around the theatre. There's a ghost in every theatre around Australia. I don't know why, but they're attracted to theatres. But that night, there was a thumping on the door. At the door. And I was like, what is this sound? So I went out, and it was like 2 a.m., me and my wife, Jane. I walk out the front, and I'm like, there's this noise. It's not windy outside. It's not raining or anything. So we hear it downstairs. So it's three stories. So we walk all the way down to the bottom.
So creepy.
And still the... And it was like a... I don't know how to describe it, but it was a noise that was moving around. And then I'd hear it upstairs. And I'm like, can you hear that, Jane? She's like, yeah, I can hear it upstairs. So I followed this noise around. And this was for maybe 20 minutes. I was just following this noise, just going, what is this noise? Because it's waking us up. And then it was at the end of the hallway. And Jane and I are standing at the door. We're like, you can hear that, right? And it was like... And then both of us got hit. Just like... Like, it was like a big gust of wind just hit us both in our doorway. And I just shut the door and it kept on knocking all night just slowly got less and less over time. And I have no idea to this day what happened.
See?
And thank God she was there because I would have seemed insane. I'm like, oh, just following a noise around the house. I'm like, phoom, phoom.
Right, so there's that ghost story, and you also told us one yesterday about up in Lonnie.
Yeah, well, Lonnie, this was as soon as we had it was an 1800s pram, so our mother-in-law bought it for us, and it would move around the house.
Like, oh, my God.
On its own. Because we have kids, we have toddlers, I'm like, is it just the toddlers moving around? No, this thing would, like, turn up in the kitchen at times. And then you're like, and just you'd hear footsteps through. We heard footsteps every single day through the hallways, and there were floorboards. And you'd be in the toilet, and they just all of a sudden, you're like, "Hey, is that you, honey?" And no one's home. You're like,
"Yep, this is serious. We need to take this seriously, right?"
Yeah, it was in that house, and even like I walked outside one day, and I had these shoes on, and I bought them like the previous day, and both the soles fell off the shoes. So as I walked out the front door, I'm like, "Oh." Both the soles just fell off. And so I walked back into the house and there was just a plastic chair in the hallway.
Oh, my God.
And
you have,
like, as soon as I opened the door,
an entity following you. And you know what?
You think?
I can't believe that you don't believe in ghosts after this. What the hell? Like, that is...
Yeah.
And the thing is, Boss Phil made a good point yesterday. It's like these ghosts, it's like it's following you.
Mm.
Because you had it up on the mainland, you had it at your house in Lonnie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too scared to come to your house now in Kingston. I'm
no,
even scared to do breakfast
here.
Radio with you, to be honest. Like, I feel like we need to get the studio cleansed. This is a ghost. You have a ghost that's following you, Dan.
My daughter, Isabel, in the South Launceston house, she would always talk about her family. And I actually asked her last night. She talked about her other family before she was born. And she talked about it all the time. And we lived right near a cemetery, by the way. You're just freaking out
a little bit. Freaking out? So, I can't believe you're so cool.
Well, this is what I asked, because it was such a long time ago. She was about three, and I'm like, do you remember your other family? And she totally did.
My baby sister Rosie is now four.
So she was your sister.
So you want to know what the new baby was called?
What?
Well, should I tell you the gender first?
Yes.
It was a boy, and his name was Zane.
Tell us about Zane.
Zane, I don't really know much about him. I like he cries a lot, and I know his first word, though.
What was it?
It was, it was mum.
It was mum. In Zane in the Membrane.
Either that or your wife's unfaithful. I'm joking.
There's this other daddy called Zane.
It's
who's that?
So creepy.
Lauren, have you had a ghost encounter?
One night, Evie was nearly three, and I could hear her chatting in a bedroom in the middle of the night, so I thought I'd better go down and check on her. And she was having a conversation, and she kept stopping, starting and looking at the wall, and she's like, "Why is that lady talking to me, Mum?" And I said, "What lady?" And she's like, "That lady," and gave her a big wave. I ran out.
Just left the house.
I didn't stay.
Get the hell out of the dog.
I come back and Evie's no longer with us. No, she is. But eventually we went back in and, you know, and sorted out. She said, "Oh, she was just waving." And I put a big spiel up about it on Facebook the next day. And the lady over the back fence gave me a photo of the lady that used to live there.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't show it to her straight away. I left it about a week.
Mm.
And I said, "Do you know this lady?" And she's like, "Oh, that was the lady in my bedroom."
Oh, my God.
I'm never coming to Kingston. I live in Kingston.
We're
I'm never coming
to your house ever, Lauren.
For reference, she looked like Mrs. Doubtfire and had a big Collingwood scarf on.
Julian from Hobart, what's your ghost story?
I used to be security guard at Norfolk, you know, the asylum up there, you know, the old buildings.
Yes, Julian. Oh, my God, so creepy.
And the mortuary, and I used to walk around of a night time and do patrols through the buildings. And one night I was walking along the road there, like along the fence line, and I seen this rocking chair with an old lady sitting on the porchway.
Oh, my God.
And I thought, "Ah, no, that can't be right." And then I walked along the further, and then there was nobody there.
Oh.
And then I went back to the mortuary bit. I had to walk in the morgue bit there, and I heard a noise in there, and I thought, "Oh, yeah, that's nothing." But I seen a shadow walking through.
Oh, my God.
And then there was another part where I looked after all this rooms, and they're all locked. All the doors were locked.
Yeah. Hmm.
And I had sensors in the rooms and that. And when I walked past the door opened and shut behind me. And I thought, that's nothing. You know, I thought, "No, that can't be right." So I walked right down the other end and come back and checked the door, but it was locked.
Oh.
And someone told me there was a little boy that walks up and down the hallways there of a night time, a little boy.
That is so creepy, Julian. It's even creepier when they're kids. So you...
No.
Oh my
no
God.
Other security guard would work there. No other one I knew would work there.
You should have got a raise.
I would have got the hell out of there.
Mate, I thought about it. I thought, believe me, nothing frightens me too much, but I'll tell you what, it puts the hair stand up in my head and I've got no air.
I have some sad news. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here at Hit 100.9. because...
Don't start with that. That's a very sad way to do it.
I keep making a mistake with Boss Phil. So we love Boss Phil. He's a great guy. And when Dan and I were first looking and coming down here for this job, we used to say to each other via memes, we'd talk about Phil and say his name all the time. In fact, we would send each other, you know, the song by Phil Collins, I Can Feel It in the Air Tonight.
Yeah. That.
Like, what's have you heard from Phil? Anyway...
There he is, Phil.
I can feel it. It's happening. Anyway, I keep saying his name wrong. We had a meeting yesterday, Dan and I, with our boss, Phil. And again, nicest guy ever. Such a great boss. And then, you know, at the end of the meeting, how you just feel like you should contribute a bit and say something like, "Is there anything that you need from us?"
Yeah.
And so I think I went into this really weird, trying to be professional place. And so I said to boss, Phil, "So is there anything else that you need from us, Steve?" And I called him the wrong name, and I can't stop. I can't stop calling Phil Steve.
Steve.
Yeah, a bit like that, and not Phil, which is his actual name. It's a common misstep. I think you mustn't have had much sleep or something like that. Everyone does that occasionally.
Do they? Know.
Yeah.
Do they call the boss the wrong name?
It might be stress, you know.
Not really. I'm not that
Could
stressed.
Could be. You're on different medication.
No, I don't take any. I probably should, but I don't take any. I mean, I can't remember. I don't know what's happening. The thing is this. I don't even know a Steve.
That's the weird part. Like, where did you get Steve from?
Steve,
watching that video beforehand?
No, I guess, do you think sometimes our boss, Phil, maybe does he have Steve vibes? Do you ever look at someone and think you could be someone so, like, you...
Not at all.
Your name is Dan, but to me you could be a Chris. You know, like, it's just really.
You do call me Ben a lot, which is very strange. I think it's just you. And Phil, while we're there, mate, can we call you Steve from now on?
Yes, you have my permission.
So Woodstock 99 is on Netflix at the moment. I watched it last night, and man, the idea is great. Woodstock Festival, 1969, 30 years later, love, peace, bringing people together. There's nothing like a concert. It started out that way, but it turned. And this is like indicative of the millennials out there, like you and I. This is our era of music. I'm talking like Limp Bizkit, Korn, Kid Rock, Chili Peppers, On Air Every Day on the radio, all those bands, a lot of white frat boys. I tell you what, like it got crazy. It got rage.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. So I haven't seen this on Netflix, right? And I really want to sit down and watch it. And you're right, like the idea of this was to have the initial revival of Woodstock 69, which was all peace, love and flower power and whatnot, and and revive that. Mm. But even from the get-go, it looks like they were doing the wrong thing. So, for instance, I read, because I haven't seen it, like I said, the attendance was recorded at around 400,000 people.
Yes.
But the organisers had only said that there was 186,000 tickets were sold because the venue had a capacity limit of 250,000 people.
They
so
just
even
wanted
then,
money.
They just wanted money. Like the intention wasn't even right. And you're right when you said about, the, like, you know, what's his name again? Kid Rock.
Kid Rock.
Limp Bizkit. Like, these are the guys in those days where it really was all about kind of being angry and getting the mosh.
Kid Rock.
Mind you, I don't mind this song. Yeah. And I love Red Hot Chili Peppers in Point Break, but that's a different story.
Oh, yeah. But this is what was making the charts back then. It was kind of like that new metal era kind of thing, and it was angry stuff. But there wasn't enough food, there wasn't enough water, there wasn't enough security of the festival. Day one, everyone was pretty good. They were dancing around to stuff and just enjoying the music. But by day three, people began to riot. So they destroyed and burned everything in sight. There were a lot of assaults too. A lot of women were taken advantage of.
Oh, God.
And it was all. I haven't been gripped by a documentary like this in ages because it shows how destructive humans can be in this situation. They were like animals. It was like Lord of the Flies in real life.
And what do you think was the main undoing of Woodstock 99? Like, what was the thing that, apart from the overcapacity, even by what you were saying with the acts and stuff like that and encouraging things, like, where did it all just go wrong?
It was a hot mess from the beginning. Like, the organisers hadn't catered for everyone. They were treated like animals. Like, the VIPs were treated, like, incredibly well. All the bands had a great time. But, like, there was just violent people in the crowd too. You know, there used to be mosh pits and, like, you know, you get in the ring of death and people would be fighting. That kind of thing. A lot of testosterone too. A lot of white boys that were angry at the time. And the music kind of reflected that. I mean, Korn, one of my favourite bands, by the way. This band came on and everyone just went gangbusters in the crowd and started like throwing each other around and that kind of thing. But it kind of encouraged the violent behaviour too because they gave them all candles. Like at one stage, like everyone had candles while the Chili Peppers were on. And everyone burnt everything to the ground. Like, it literally happened.
Are you serious?
And even when Limp Bizkit happened, like, Fred Durst went out there and just went, like, singing songs like this. And people were just throwing each other around, getting violent. And he was kind of encouraging it. He goes, oh, everyone, we're going to break stuff. Here we go. And then just that's what happened.
It sounds so, like hell. This is like my, this is honestly, this is why I don't even go to concerts now. Because I'm too scared of the crowds and all
it's
that stuff.
It's so much better now. But I went to Gang of Youths and it was so calm, peaceful.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Dave looked after, like there was one lady that passed out and he goes, is she okay? We're going to stop the whole concert. And everyone was so respectful. Like, it's a generational thing. I think the next generation have got it way better than we did.
You went on last Sunday, didn't you, the Gang of Youths down here?
And it was beautiful to see. Like, even, like, you know, the Welcome to Country turned up on the big screen. Everyone cheered. It was such a beautiful, it was a peace and loving thing, like the original Woodstock. But that's what you get when you have frat boys and Kid Rock. It ain't a good combo, is it?
Hobart's Hit 100.9. Hit Breakfast with Dan and Christy.